email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Martin King is on the line. How are you doing, Martin?
I'm all right, Ray. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. Now, people will know you from the weather and now from the 6 o'clock show, and they'll see you on Sunday night in a new documentary called We Need to Talk About Dementia. And Virgin Media and One have been doing great programming across the week, drawing our attention to the plight of people with dementia and people caring for people with dementia. And your fundraising as well, donateforDementia.ie. This was a very personal documentary for you to make, Martin?
It certainly was, Ray, because I was in with you in February of last year before all the madness happened. And we lost my mom to dementia in May of 2019, but it was something she'd had. Well, we saw the first signs of it in 2006. So it was a journey with it, but it tends to be for the person involved and for the people around them.
And I say it's a very personal documentary, and it's a sort of, you're on a quest to try and maybe understand what your mother might have been feeling. That's one part of it. And the other part of it is to find out if this is what is ahead of you. So we could do with the first bit first. So you sat down with your two sisters, Claire and Etna, and you were sort of trying to reminisce and try and pinpoint when maybe the first signs of your mother's dementia appeared.
Yeah, that's how the documentary kind of opens. It's myself and two of my sisters having a chat, and Claire, of course, was right front and center, because she lived in the family home. So when, like, my dad was already ill after a couple of strokes, so he was debilitated down the right side of his body. So she was caring for him, and then slowly but surely, things start happening with my mom. And so by circumstance rather than design, she was the carer for both of them. And of course there's a whole pile of people around the country. For every person that has dementia, there is a family member looking after them at the best of times, and they kind of get forgotten. So we sat down, and Claire, of course, she started to tell some of the stuff that she had to deal with, but also how it was impacting on her emotional and mental health. And of course, Etna, because it was my mom, like my four sisters helped more than myself and my brother did, because obviously as dementia progresses, there are needs that need to be tended to, and like my mom wouldn't have wanted any of us to have to look after her in that way, but it was, you know, I think it was a little more dignifying for my sisters to be able to do that.
Because your mother
spoke about that.
Your mother was a very independent woman. Tell us a bit about her, Chrissy.
Massively independent and incredibly funny. She grew up in De Valera's Ireland, Ray, probably like your own mom. Mm-hmm. So she came from a large family, and she missed a lot of school growing up as well, because she was in hospital quite a bit. And of course, by age 11 or 12, you know, in 1940s, 1950s Ireland, if you wanted to carry on in secondary school, it was going to cost. There was no free secondary school then. So she was into the workplace. She met my dad, and they settled down to have a family. And as it was then, a single woman gave up her job before she got married to make room for another single woman who needed a job. And she would then take on the role of homemaker, and my dad would take on the role of breadwinner. So doing that, she was homemaker, peacemaker. She was the hugger. She was, she was there for the bulk of the time because my dad was working. She was the disciplinarian. But both of them, both my mum and dad, had a great sense of fun. They loved a party, and you'll pick that up from some of the pictures that you'll see in the documentary on Sunday. She was very loving and very warm, and it was the sudden change that kind of alerted my sister to something might be going on here.
Go on.
Yeah, we were off on a holiday, a family holiday in Florida in 2006, and myself, Jenny, and the children, and my sister and her husband, my mother. There were about 12 of us in total on the trip, and we rented a couple of houses to stay in, and my mum stayed with my sister. And one evening, my mum, just out of nowhere and completely out of character, just turned on my sister and snapped at her because she said, we're coming to America and you promised we were going to go shopping and we haven't been shopping and we'd just been shopping. And I can't remember if we were shopping that day or the previous day, but we had been shopping. She lost the head over this and became very irate. And to, like, even my brother-in-law said, that's so out of character for your mom to fly off the handle like that. But we, of course, put it down to Florida. It's July. It's humid. She could be dehydrated. Mm. She could also be jet lagged. She was 71 at that stage, Ray. So there were a lot of reasons why that could have happened. We never thought that it could be something like dementia. And we learned during the making of this that she had actually turned on my wife. We were on a trip to Busch Gardens and we had our youngest, Alex, was only 3 at the time, so he wasn't able to get on a lot of the stuff there. So Jenny took charge of him and my mum stayed with her. And they had to make some journey to the far side of the park but couldn't get on the same contraption to get back to where they started. So they had to walk across the park and my mum turned on her as they were walking. And whatever about us as children, you know, she would quickly tell us if we were out of line. Mm. She'd put manners on us. But like the in-laws, they were the ones that were making our kids happy. So they were like gods. So for her to turn on one of our in-laws was completely out of character.
It's aggression is a symptom of dementia and Alzheimer's that people don't talk about a lot. It's a very real for the people around the person suffering.
Yeah, and when it's from somebody who's so loving and warm and generally the peacemaker in the household, it comes as a bit of a shock. And my sister Claire, she witnessed that more often than we did because she was living in the home. And even though we'd go in and we'd visit for a couple of hours, or I might call over on a Saturday and bring my mom over to my house, and she'd babysit. Now, at that stage, she was more than able to babysit. She was more than able to go to work, and she did. That gave my sister a bit of respite as well. But at the best of times, you know, even with the help that, you know, the HSE would provide maybe for an hour or an hour and a half in the day, for those nighttime hours when there's nobody there but my mom, my dad, who are both in need of care, and my sister would get to the point where she would go to bed knowing, I'm not going to get a full night's sleep. But there's so many people like that, even listening to us now.
And when did your mother get the diagnosis, Martin?
That happened, we had to convince her because, you know, she had taken care of my grandmother, my father's mother, when she had dementia. So she would have known some of the signs. And I think she would have been in denial that she had it. Like, we were making excuses for some of her forgetfulness and, I'm putting some of her, you know, turns, her bad tempered turns down to just, maybe just getting on and being less tolerant as she went on in her years. But it was becoming a little more frequent. I don't think she wanted to go for tests because I'm sure she saw the signs herself and didn't want to be told. And I can understand that. I don't know if I would want to be told, but she was avoiding it. But eventually we said, look, Mom, you're going to go for a full MOT. They're going to check everything to make sure that you're okay. And because of her fear and also our fear that if she was told, look, you have dementia, it could send her into a spiral and send her into a deep depression. So we thought, I think my sister said to the doctor, don't, if the tests confirm that she has dementia, don't tell her.
Right.
Tell her something else. Don't tell her. And I think it was like a little code they had set up. And so she went for the tests and then she went back to get the results. And I remember Jenny was doing a wedding over in Mayo.
She's a photographer. And
she's a professional photographer. Yeah. So she was on her way to photograph a wedding in Mayo. And in fact, it was Jenny reminded me of it last night. She said, I remember that car journey because she was on her way to shoot her final wedding before she went to have a brain tumour removed in February. And it was also the day before my birthday. So she wanted me to make that journey with her so that you know, she'd be with me on the day of my birthday, and then after doing some presents with the kids, she'd go off and shoot the wedding. But on the journey over, my phone rang, and it was my mum, and she rang to say, look, the tests came back. My heart is fine, and everything is good. And as for my forgetfulness, apparently, I got water on the brain, so it's nothing to worry about.
Water on the brain, right?
Yeah, and I knew when she said that.
Do people advise you that that's a good idea? That the person suffering doesn't get a diagnosis? And did you seek advice that, or was that just something you decided among yourselves?
That was something we decided amongst ourselves. Right. I like my sister was taking her to get these tests done, and so whether that advice was suggested or whether that was something that we thought would be a better idea and then endorsed by the medical people, I don't know. Yeah. I do know, and I'm more than aware that everybody has a right to know how they are and how their health is. Our concern was for my mum's mental state from the point of view that if she's told it's dementia because some of her other family had got dementia, that she might sink into a really deep depression.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? It's quite interesting.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one. So she never knew that she had dementia that you know of.
My sister Claire, who was at she was at the coalface.
Yeah.
She said that Mom did know. She figured it out herself, but she didn't want to admit it.
And when you were in last February, we were talking about that your mom and your dad died within 4 weeks of each other in 2019. Your dad died 22nd of April, and then your mum died 21st of May. And you kept your dad's death from your mum.
Yeah, yeah. It was because we were worried about that first stage grief.
Right.
That if if we went and told her, listen, dad's passed away, she'd be able to take in that moment and she'd go to first stage grief. And then she might forget about it a little while later because dementia affects short-term memory as well, but then she'd remember it again. She might wonder where he is, and then went, "Oh, hang on, they told me he's dead." And then she's back to first stage grief again. And we just thought her heart is going to break. And my sister Claire was just saying just the other day, she said, "Do you remember Dad's fleece?" And it came back to me as well that during those couple of weeks, she wouldn't sleep without the fleece on her lap, and she would hold on to it, and that's how she slept. So she got a sense of sadness and just held on to that. But of course, we'd go in to see her, and she'd say, "Have you seen your dad?" And I said, no. "He might be at work." And she said, "No, he's, I think I told you before, one day," she said, he's, "Oh no, I know where he is. He put Paul in the pram and he took him out for a walk." Now, Paul at that stage was 53. Yeah. So it would need to be a very big
pram. It's sort of funny as well, isn't it?
It is funny. Yeah. It's funny. It's sweet as well. But that's where she was in her happy place. Yeah.
And Etten and Claire say it as well, that the sequence probably worked well. You know, your dad went first and then your mum went. The other part of the documentary is you trying to, you meet people. You meet Marguerite, who had early onset Alzheimer's with her daughter, Blonda, down in Cashel. And you meet Simon, whose mother, Jackie, has, she's in the final stages of dementia. And then Mary and Sean up in Fermanagh. You also meet scientists and doctors, and your mum had it, and you're saying that your dad's mum had it, and then a number of aunties had it. So your fear is that it's in the genes. So what did you discover there?
What I discovered was that there's only a small percentage chance of it being hereditary.
Okay.
There is a chance, there is a genetic form, but only a small percentage chance that it's hereditary. So it's at the best of times random, pot luck, whatever you want to call it, or pop bad luck. I got some answers to that. And the fact, I did wonder, is this hereditary? And what came back to me was, only to 1 or 2%.
Right.
But of course, it's a growing thing. We're told that by the year 2050, the amount of people suffering with dementia, it will double in Ireland.
Yeah, well, that's because we're living longer. Yeah, we're living longer, you see, and we've been kept alive longer by modern medicine. So, yeah, that's worrying. And the scientists in Trinity College were saying that we don't know what causes it, so you can't find a cure for something you don't know what the cause is. So that's... But anyway, there is hope in it. Brian Lawler, hopeful, and the people you spoke to who are living with dementia, there's hope there. And you went out to that nursing home that exclusively takes people who have dementia, and there was a lovely atmosphere out there. So that's all. It's a lovely documentary. It's very heartfelt, and you know, I think it'll strike a chord with people. We need to talk about dementia, and it's on at 8 o'clock this Sunday on Virgin Media One, and it's followed by Finding Jack Charlton, which I've seen already, which is an amazing documentary. And there's access there to Jack Charlton before he died in his home. And he, of course, suffered from dementia as well. Will you please pass on my best to Martin and his family? Where's that? Yeah, such a great guy. His attitude and positivity are just what the country needs right now, says Tadhg. And I can hear it there, Martin, in you, that the whole experience of making this documentary is it's sucked a bit of energy out of you, has it?
It has. It's been an emotional journey because, you know, I'm going back to, you know, that time again. You know, you when someone passes, you remember all the good times because they are the things you want to remember. But I've had to go back and remember, you know, the dementia. And yeah, I never spoke to my mom about how she felt about having dementia because I didn't want to make her aware that she had it. Mm. She thought she was just in a hospital. So yeah, I'm tapping, as my wife said as well, she said, I was worried about you going back to those feelings that you had when your mom slipped away, but also tapping into maybe some of the feelings that you never actually tapped into since she passed. And that kind of has happened. But whatever about me being positive, Marguerite and Sean are living and walking, talking examples that we should not write somebody off because they have dementia. Mm. You know, there's a lot of life and quality of life to be had between your diagnosis and the end.
And knowing what you know now, having spoken to the scientists and the doctors and the people who suffer with it, would you have done anything differently, do you think, with your mother?
Is that too big a question? No, it's not. No, it's not. Like I wondered after going to St. Joseph's in Shankill, where it's a dedicated dementia care home. And going there thinking, my mum really would have benefited being here. But also knowing that if she was there, she wouldn't have been with my dad. Yeah. So they were together for the last couple of years of their lives in and even though they were in residential care, they were together.
And, so they were in a big room, wasn't it, Martin? A big room.
They had this massive room. Right. It was just gorgeous where they were. And but they wouldn't have, because it's dementia dedicated, they probably wouldn't have been together. And I think them being together when my mother was having those moments of and times of clarity, I think that kept her going and might have slowed down the progression just a little bit because they were as they were before I came along. It was just the two.
They loved each other, very much.
And
we spoke to you before about that. You know, the 60s had this lovely, wonderful, loving family environment right through your lives.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Right, we need to talk about dementia. I'll give it one more plug there. Virgin Media One this Sunday at 8 o'clock. Martin, thanks for taking time out to talk to us today. Mind yourself.
Thanks for talking to us, Ray. I appreciate it. Look after yourself.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.